We got a special edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA show this week. David Aldridge, I'm in New York at this Olympic prep thing. Marcus in the Bay getting ready to go to SAC. And our guest this week from the Minnesota Timberwolves, the man, the myth, the legend of Naz Reid. What up, man?
What's up, man? I'm good. How you doing?
Man, Naz, thank you for coming on, man. We've been trying. We've been working on it for a minute because you have blown up like something crazy this year. We want to make sure we got you on, man. And just, man, so many questions. But first of all, let me ask you, like, what do you think of the matchup?
I mean, it's been tough for us throughout the season, but, you know, it's playoff time now, you know, so it's a different type of basketball game. You know, it was a lot more intense. Things get real, real heated, and I think that's kind of where we buckle in and settle down for sure.
Is it? What does it feel like as, you know, for most of the season, you guys were top dogs, and even though what you finish at, third seed, it's still like one seed, right? It's like one game off. What was that like just going through basically the whole year as an elite Western Conference team?
Yeah, man, it was crazy. Like, especially for me in my fifth year, you know, it was crazy to – you know, to have that jump that, you know, we were at from our first guy into the league to where we are now, it's just like a completely 180. So, I mean, that's been huge. And then it's been exciting, you know, to, you know, compete against these teams at a high level and, you know, try to get our shot to be at the number one seed. And especially, you know, going against OKC and Denver, you know, those are two great teams. And just being able to go out there and compete with them, I think we split even with both teams. But, you know, it's been fun just, you know, to make sure that you, sometimes you don't want that bad loss. You don't want, you're not in this predicament or things of that nature. It's kind of like a mind game, but at the same, at the end of the day, you kind of just gotta go out there and play.
Man, I can't imagine like what it was like to end last year the way that it ended with all the injuries and everything that was going on. I know you thought, man, this is not the best of us. I know we're better than this, right? I just wonder, like, I know y'all use that as fuel all season. How does it feel in comparison to know, oh, hell yeah, yeah, now you're going to see the real Minnesota going into these playoffs?
Yeah, man, I mean, it's, you know, I think last year was our first year, you know, even being together as a team. So a lot of things take time. I mean, I think we just, you know, trying to get to know each other and, you know, style of plays and, you know, knowing how to communicate and things of that nature. And then, you know, I think this last summer, I think we all hit it off, had a good start. You know, those guys had a great Olympics, you know, experience. And, you know, I think a few other guys were in the gym just getting right, you know, I think, and then we all came together earlier in the summer, you know, just to have that cohesiveness bond and things of that nature and to push it into the season.
Hey, I'm going to give you the floor because if you need to talk, you'll talk. I'm going to let you go ahead and do that because I feel like you've earned it. How in the world were you not drafted?
Oh, man. I think for me, I think not passing the eye test. I think that's the only thing it was. I mean, I think I had a lot to learn basketball-wise, but I think the eye test was pretty much, I mean, I was overweight. I wasn't really working out too much then as well. I mean, I think that was a humbling experience for me. I think I needed that. And, you know, kind of coming from high school and things of that nature where I was at top of the line, a basketball player, ranked top five, whatever the case may be, to now I'm hunting, you know what I'm saying? So I think I needed that different experience.
What, you know, professional athletes, it's not that they fail, it's that they deal with failure better than anybody else. You know what I mean? Like they're able to deal with it. I wonder what did you tap into those first couple of years where we went, oh hell, I gotta show these folks what I'm really all about.
Yeah, I was hungry. I was desperate. I wanted to, you know, show that I belong on the court with anybody that was in the NBA. I think I went out there and I think I at least deserved the opportunity and I think I was gonna make the best of the opportunity. And that was no ifs, ands, or buts. I was gonna make sure that I made that happen. I think that started with the summer league my first year and I was able to convert my contract within two games maybe. So I think, you know, I just needed the opportunity and I was gonna make things work.
Do you think that whole experience helps you now? Because I mean, I look around a league, I think you can start for like 20 other teams, right? But now you're 100%. Looking at this, you think if you didn't go through that, if you were the top dog, would this be tough for you to deal with coming off the bench knowing you could be a starter anywhere else in the league?
I would say yes and no. I said yes because, you know, obviously being a top dog, you kind of know the position you're supposed to be in. But then I also say no just because, again, like I said before, I'm grateful to have the opportunity to step on the floor with some of these superstars and things of that nature. So, I mean, like I said before, I'm going to make the best of the situation I'm in, regardless whether it's coming off the bench, starting, playing limited minutes, you know. I'm gonna make the best of it because that's just the type of person that I've grown to be within these last 5 years. And like you said, from being undrafted, so I think that's just my mentality now.
You still be looking though, right? Like I could start for that team, huh?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I know you know everybody that was in that draft. You could name 1 to 15.
Yeah, I literally could. I can.
Man, so look, what do you think got you guys in the defensive space that you've been in all season? Like it's the jump is just like ridiculous how much better y'all are defensively this year.
Yeah, I mean, that just goes back to the mindset. I think obviously you can run up and down the court scoring the ball, but at some point somebody has to get stopped. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of just became our identity. I mean, starting with Big Rue, I think he's defensive player of the year, man. I think starting with him and then he just trickled down to Jaden and so forth and so on. I think, you know, everybody has that mindset where we want to have our excitement from getting the stop then going on the break then, you know, so forth and so on. So I think being able to, use our abilities, our length, our size, and I think from 1 to 15, we all can play different positions on the defensive end as well. So we all can rotate and, you know, have that low man presence and guard different positions as well. So I think with that, I think just knowing where you belong on the floor, you should be fine.
Yeah. Hey, he talking that talk, but I know there's a part of him that's like we still got another level, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Still like, 100%. I mean, the way you know you got the dogs on the perimeter, you've got like eight versions of rim protection, right? Like there's so many, like
yeah.
What is the peak of Minnesota defense? Like when what does it look like when everything is clicking like it can?
I mean, there's been some clips like on Instagram that I've seen, like, it's just like the rotation, the communication, like, you know, like obviously one person gets, you know, blown by it, which happens. You have Rudy at the rim, but to know where you rotate to, if, you know, that guy gets to the rim, knowing you have to have that backside out, that crackback rebound, so forth and so on, just knowing and communicating. I think that's kind of where like that starts. And then like from there, you can, man, the sky's the limit. I think that's, you have to communicate though, for sure.
How much is, I mean, the center's always supposed to talk. How much, Rudy always talked. I know he's always been a talker, so that's not the issue. But how much is just him being more comfortable, maybe year two, kind of really tapped into that defensive piece also?
Yeah, man, just, you know, him having that leadership on the defensive side, you know, him being able to talk and us listen, or, you know, us having a discussion on, okay, I think I should be here, and okay, if you can help from this position, then that'd be great for me. Da, da, da. So, like, basically, Rudy's the quarterback on the defensive end. He sees everything. He's protecting the rim. So, I mean, he gets to see if someone gets backdoored or, you know, something of that nature. So, he's the quarterback. So, you kind of gotta listen and relate to what he's saying.
All right, no cap. I'm gonna need you to, you know, be candid on this one. It might cost you a little social media clout, but then it might give you some. And Edwards dunking you in practice yet?
He said what?
Ant dunk on you in practice yet?
Nah, not yet, but he got it.
You see that? That pause?
Nah, I got that hesitation. I got that hesitation too, Marcus.
He has it. Which is pretty surprising, but he hasn't yet. I mean, he's not somebody.
Has he tried?
Yeah, he's tried everybody. Everybody got tried before, but nah, he hasn't. I'm happy he hasn't. So that's I'm on the good side of that.
Nah, man, I wanted to, you know, obviously, I know you get asked about Ant all the time. Now, look, I'm an old head, Nas.
Hey, he be hating, Nas. I'm telling you.
No, I'm not hating. I'm just saying he ain't MJ yet. Come on now, just don't do that to the young
fella. I mean, yeah, nah, you're seeing.
That's all I'm saying.
He got some of the swag, you know?
Yeah. There's definitely some similarities for sure. You've seen both sides. So, I mean, you're able to speak on that, but definitely some similarities. It's like, all so right. He has some MJ moments, I will say.
Who did he get that even you went, oh, snap, shit.
What was the one?
I've been with him for 3 years, so I've seen so many. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
yeah.
No, John Collins.
I mean, obviously that's the best one, but the first one, Watanabe. You know what I'm saying? I guess the Raptors. I mean, like that's crazy, and I'm on the court with it. You know what I'm saying? I've seen it. I'm right there. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I've seen a few. So,
man, you. Go ahead, Mark.
You were talking about eye test, right, in the draft. I wonder what people have said about your shot. It looks like the most chilling, nonchalant. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it looks like, you know what your shot looked like? Your nickname was Big Jelly, right? That's what it looked like. But at 41%, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, look, so right? Out of the people who've taken about 400 threes, let me tell you who percentage you better than Ann. About same amount of threes. Lauri Markkanen, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, right? Like, I mean,
right.
What do people used to say about your shot, and then what are you saying now that you're like a 41% shooter?
I mean, people always said that I could shoot. It was just a lot of confidence in the level I would be able to shoot at, you know what I'm saying? So I think with everything that had went on in the positive direction, that I've been able to just, you know, confidently shoot the ball, I've been able to do it. It's to the point where, like, we have sets that come off of me shooting the ball, you know what I'm saying? So I think it was just a lot of confidence and just the willing and the blessings to do so. So I think that's what everybody said. That I've talked about it.
Is it like, what do you think is the secret to your shot? Is it the lack of like you're not getting high off the ground? You're not doing a lot, right? It's a very simple and confined shot. You think that helps you at this level?
I think just seeing the rim. If I can see the rim, it's good. I'm keeping it, but it's good. Like,
that's that Rucker talk right there.
If I can see the rim, if I get a good look on the rim, it's good. That's really what's pretty much what it is for me.
Man, I'm always amazed. And I said, Marcus, we talk about this all the time. Even at the NBA level, dudes say the same thing. Confidence is everything. And it just amazes me that even at the NBA, you still got to believe, you still got to have confidence in yourself. And 100%. It can be taken, I'm sure it can be taken away so easily if you know, and it can be internal, not even external shit. Just like start doubting yourself. So where did you kind of get that mentality that, no, I'm going to go through the toughness. I'm going to go through the tough period because I know I can play in this league. I know I can.
I say draft. I mean, for me, like, I didn't even watch the draft. I just, like, switched. My mentality just has switched from, like, being that guy to hunting, like, you know what I'm saying? I just wanted to hunt. Like, I really just wanted to show, like, that I belong in this league. And I think that's kind of where I got my mentality now. I think it carried over it and obviously built to another level. But I think being able to, like, I'm going out there to dog, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a dog head. So I'm going out there, to, you know what I'm saying, to compete and, you know, to scrap and do whatever the case may be. That I'm on the floor scoring the ball, rebounding it. I'm going out there to impact the game any way, shape, or form. So I think that's kind of where the impact comes. No matter who's in front of me, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm here to do. So
who put that?
That's
where
the confidence comes.
Who put that in?
I mean, I've always had that. I've always had that. I think my AAU coach, Reggie, I think I was coached. I was like, we were disciplined at a young age, you know what I'm saying? To, you know, always have that dog mentality. I mean, no matter, you know what I'm saying, what position that I was in, whether I was top guy or not. So I think with him being able to instill that in me and me being at the highest level, I wasn't able to see the other side until I got to that point, you know what I'm saying, which was hunting. And I think once I got to that point, I already had that instilled in me and I already knew what to do.
Man, how did you – it's funny because I'm at this Olympic thing today and I was talking to a young female boxer and she was talking about how she started – at 165 and she had to get down to 140, I guess. And she was like, I was fat. And I'm like, I can't imagine you being fat a day in your life. What are you talking about? And I just wonder what that's
165,
like.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, and she was like, she's all cut up. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, you were, and she's like, yeah. And I'm so like, how did you know I need to be lighter if I'm gonna make it in this league?
I mean, I think that's just something that I wanted to change. Like that, I think, as I got older and I'm more mature, I understood, like, you know, what was going to put me in the best predicaments. And I think, obviously, the eye test being the main thing. I think for me, I just wanted to change the body. Like, I think I came into the league like 285, and I'm now 230. You know what I'm saying? So like, just the body change and the regimens and just, you know, being able to keep working out. Like I said before, I've always had that dog in me, so it wasn't going to be a problem to work. It was just a matter of, you know, how I had to work with scientific things that I had to do to myself and understand, like, you know, all right, this is what's going to help you in today's game and moving on forward into the NBA.
What is like when you think about like inspiration and like that kind of fight that you got in you, what role is like your mom and your grandmother? Like where does that kind of play into the story of how, where you are and how you got here?
Yeah, man. Like my mom, like I used to, you know, I used to see her walk to work. If she used to work, it would be like, maybe it'd be like a 45 minute walk. You know what I'm saying? Just like sometimes you'd have enough to get, you know, get on the bus, you know what I'm saying? So just like, just to make sure that I made sure that she was straight once I got an opportunity to, like, that was the biggest thing for me. Like, I always, I'm a mama's boy. So like, I was always on my mom's side, regardless of the situation. So just, that was my biggest hate, like, you know, just being able to, or not being able to see her, you know, get to work how she wanted to get to work. She just walked, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes they take that walk with her just because I had nothing to do with, you know what I'm saying? So, but that was my biggest, like, motivation that I wanted to, you know, to help change.
See, I'll be lying when I say that, DA, when I'm like, oh, I had to walk all this school, and I'll be trying to tell my daughter how tough it was. I'll be lying.
Right.
Last mom would be telling the truth.
Like, you want to see the soles of my shoes? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. I walk uphill both ways. Like, I'm lying, like, Nas. I'm lying.
Man, what were those talks like? Were you walking with your mom? What were you talking about? What would y'all talk about?
Just playful things. Like, at that time, I was young. I didn't really know, like I knew that we were walking to work, but I didn't know why we were walking to work. I didn't know we didn't have it. I didn't know, like, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know all those things. Yeah. I'm a kid, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just doing kid-like things and things of that nature. So I'm just having fun with my mom. Like I said before, I'm a mama's boy. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm getting experience from that time with my mom, and I'm excited. I'm happy, not knowing. Like, it's tough times within these little moments that we have.
Yeah. So what did you, I mean, once you knew I'm in the league, what did you want to do for the family? Like, what was it like? I'm going to do this to make sure that this is off of my family's plate now.
100%. Just, you know, giving my mom somewhere to live, somewhere special to live. You know, transportation to get to work. Hopefully, at some point in time where I can retire her from work. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
I think those things are huge for me because, like I said, man, I'm a mama's boy at heart. Grandma, those are my girls. So. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be able to take care of them any way, shape, or form.
So you was crying more than them when you did it, basically?
Huh?
You was crying more than them when you plugged them with the car and the spot?
Oh, no. I wasn't crying. Ooh, I wasn't
come
crying.
Come on, man. Yeah,
I was definitely excited to, you know, finally be able to do that, just to be able for myself, just to say, you know, I stepped into, like, you know, a role where, all right, now I'm the breadwinner, and I'm gonna make sure everybody's, good.
Nas, I always want to know from guys, like, see, if I ever write a book about the NBA, I know what the title's gonna be. It's gonna be No, because it's the hardest thing to say. The hardest thing to say. I just wonder, like, did it amaze you when all of a sudden you had all these best friends you didn't know you had that just needed to hold a little something for you, just for a minute?
And they're going to give it back.
They're going to give it back in five minutes.
Hey, they really think you believe that, though. They really think.
Right. When I first got into the league, I'm like, all right, I should be able to take care of this guy, this person, this and the third. But now it's like, if you don't have a valid reason or an explanation for what you're doing, I can't help you. I'm sorry. Like, that's just what it is. Like, obviously, I want to be able to help everybody, but you know what I'm saying? Like, newcomers and things of that nature, I kind of don't. I just, you know what I'm saying? I got to do this first. I got to help this person out first. So, you know, I think, obviously, like I said before, man, it'd be great if I could help the whole world if I could, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. What's the craziest one you got? What's the craziest the request? Get in your pockets, yes.
He ain't listened long enough. He was like, nope.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really think I have, like,
I want to start an amusement park, Nas. I just need a little.
Nah, see, they're not even going to ask me nothing like that. I ain't going. I ain't going for none of that. But, like, everything's been pretty.
No crazy business somebody playing. Somebody needed.
Nah, nothing like this has been like, all right, now you're tripping. Like, been like that. But, like, it's been more so just like, what have you helped me with? You know what I'm saying? Why should I do X, Y, and Z? That's pretty much really what it's been.
As old heads used to always tell me in my hood, you just keep on living. It's coming. You keep on
working. I'm pretty sure it is.
100%. That next contract is going to come. Right. Uh-huh. I'm very curious about your relationship with Carl Anthony Towns. Like, it feels like, and you know, obviously Rudy does the Rudy thing, but two big guys, both can shoot, right? Like, what is that like in practice? Are you guys having like shooting battles? Or like, you know, Cat has already proclaimed himself the greatest shooting big man of all time. I imagine the Jersey in you wants to challenge that sometimes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? What's 100%. That like?
Man, it was crazy. As he probably beat me more times than I could think of. Like, we shoot out. We have shootouts for sure. And Anthony even stepped into a few of them. But like once he get going, it's like you got to like catch him while he misses. Because if he doesn't miss, he's like, we had a shooting game called 3-2-1, where you go around, you got to make three in a row, two in a row, then finally one shot at each spot. He's gone like, he's ran through three in a row, two in a row, and then he's on the last set where I'm just, you know what I'm saying? I started second, so now I'm just going. He done went through two sets already, you know what I'm saying? So you kind of got to catch him while you can. Like, whenever he finally misses, you got to like capitalize. If you don't, it's over. Like, you can forget about it. Yeah, you forget about it. He gonna shoot. He shoot the ball like a guard for real.
Nas, you follow these memes about you, man? I know you got to.
I see a few of them. They're hilarious. I just saw one yesterday. It was like, if this cast or this towel isn't in my casket, don't bury me or something like that. It's crazy. I literally just saw that one yesterday. I'm like, bro, there's no way people really think of this stuff.
Right. Oh my God. I don't know how it makes you feel. How does that make you feel, man, when you see these people just coming, just tripping off of this?
Yeah, man, it's exciting to feel. Definitely that you kind of know that you got a fan base behind you. But at the same time, it's kind of like you got to stick into reality. Like, all right, like it's cool and all, but it's like, all right, like you can't let it gas your head up. That makes sense.
Yeah. Every comment,
I'm gassed. I'm done. You can't tell me nothing. You making me.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be able to balance it. You got to be able to balance it.
Right. So who's your truth teller in your spot, in your camp, man? Who tells you the God's honest truth that you need to hear?
I got two. I got my friend Yassine that I've grown up with. He's going to tell me like anything, any positive situation, he's going to find the negative in. Like, no, you didn't do this, that, and the third.
You got to have that friend, though.
Yeah, but you had 20 today, you ain't have 30, though. So,
right.
I have another friend named Dorian where, like, he's going to tell me, like, I don't care how much you score today. You ain't die on the floor. You ain't, you know what I'm saying? It's always, they're going to always find any type of critique, which I think I need because it's like, again, there's not a lot of people who's going to sit there and tell you like, okay, you did this today, but you didn't do this today. And I think it just helps my game where it's like, now I'm focusing on both standpoints where now I can impact the game in so many different ways.
Nah, let's hold them too close, man. We all need those people to tell us the truth, man. Mm-hmm.
Like, 100%.
You need him.
Balance is great. You got guys on your team like Jaden is a dog. Mike Conley, man, that dude is like a wonder.
Yeah,
Mike Conley is like, remember in Coming to America, Joe Louis is 174 years old. Like, that's Mike Conley, right?
Exact same way. He ain't changed a minute. Same way he played 12 years ago,
right? Having guys like that who like don't mind dirty work, who you know just. They carry themselves in that way. Like, how much has that helped your career and this development we've seen from you?
Man, it's been great, especially from a guy like Mike, he's in year 17, 18 now. So, like, especially a guy from like that who's seen it all, every aspect. He's been in the league long enough to tell you what, you know, what's right and what's wrong, what's coming and what's, you know, what to not look at, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, for him, it's just exciting to see how young he looks again now. Like, just he's excited to play with us. He's excited to be around us. We're teaching him new dance moves. Like, it's funny. It's cool. Definitely a vibe for sure. But then you got like a guy like Jaden. That's my best friend on the team, man. Like, we do everything together. So like, it's somebody that I can talk to. He's someone that I can talk to, and vice versa. And you know what I'm saying, we hang out all the time and often. I mean, it's great to have two guys like that.
Have you noticed the different vibe in the city this year with y'all? Like, are people stepping to y'all a different way?
Yeah, I mean, the support is second to none, first of all, especially from when I first got here. I mean, it's my fifth year here, so, like, from before I first got here, even from last year, maybe the year before, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like, no offense to, like, Trailblazers or DC or anything, but those games are even sold out, you know what I'm saying? They just want to be able to support us and be excited to be with us and the things of that nature. And then, like, you know what I'm saying? Just from my perspective, just the Nas retail, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was crazy. Like, that's something that you dream of as a kid, you know, at the NBA, right? Look, you know what I'm saying? So, like, just it's been crazy, man.
That's so funny. Who used to be the most lit? Who does Minnesota get up for that comes to town for y'all? Like, is it obviously like Lakers Warriors, or is it like a game that used to be the most turnt?
Definitely Warriors. I say Warriors. They love Steph. I think.
Yes, they do. I was there for one of them. Yes, yeah. They do.
I think definitely a Steph game for sure. Maybe even a Giannis. Obviously, that's not too far. You know what I'm saying? So you got fans from both sides, but definitely one of those two.
But now they come for y'all, right? Like, just
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's got to be such a different. That's got to be such a pleasant vibe, man. Because I know I cover. I'm in DC. I live in DC, so I see the Wizards all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I always think I don't know how they do this. Like every home game, they rooting for the other team. Every mm-hmm. single game. Yeah. Unless they're playing like the Pistons or somebody, you know what I mean? Like that's the only time. And I just wonder what that's got to be disheartening for a guy to say, well, wait a minute, this is my city, my team. And
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? My folks ain't even rooting for me, you know?
Yeah, you guys supposed to have our back. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Kinda, I mean, that's got to be great to have it now, to have everybody rooting for y'all all the time now.
100%, man. It's like, it's to the point where, like, even when you're watching film, like, you're watching film where the sign after you shoot, it's like, people are calling your name. It's like, I want to entertain them, but it's like, I got to work first. You know what I'm saying? So, it's crazy.
Right.
You ready to go into the crowd. how much does, like, you know, Finch is obviously, you know, coach of the year candidate. Like, how much has he been a part of, like, just molding this, like, new culture and how y'all play and how y'all operate and the expectations you're playing under?
Yeah, man, he's a really smart guy, man. He has the X's and O's to a T, I think. And then, like, to a player standpoint, he lets us play freely, you know? Like, he doesn't really have too many rules. He just wants everybody to be aggressive and, you know, obviously smart and decisive with their decision-making. But, yeah, I mean, he's super cool, calm, collected. I mean, I think he's a guy who's going to support you any way, shape, or form. He's going out there and he's going to coach you with all aspirations ahead, too, as well, so...
I got to ask you about this, man. So a couple years ago when y'all won that play-in, y'all went nuts and TNT barbecued y'all.
For a minute. That's right. Pat Bev on the scene. You know what I'm saying? That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Yeah, go ahead.
That was cool, man. And firstly, like a lot of people don't know, like, you know, Pat had that goal, like he said in the beginning of the year, like, we're going to get to the playoffs. Like, I'm going to help this team get to the playoffs. That's something that nobody really knows. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's like a locker room thing, you know? Like, he had that goal, and then he's like, look, we're going to come from where we came from to we're going to lead.
That's why he's a good leader, man. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so, like, a lot of people don't know that. Like, that's, like I said before, that's a locker room thing. So, like, people, like, the inside people knew why he did that and why he cried and so forth and so on. But a lot of people, outside people don't know, like, that's kind of what, you know, the goal was.
Yeah, I didn't mind.
As a start, anyway.
I didn't mind it. Celebrate your spot in life, baby.
This is funny. This is. I didn't mind either reaction. I didn't mind him crying because I knew it was important. I also didn't mind Turner, like,
going in on him.
I didn't mind chucking him having a little fun either. It's basketball. It's supposed to be.
Yeah,
like, it's both sides. It's both sides. So that, I understood it.
Speaking of lip service, last we saw in the regular season finale, there was a little chirping happening, right? Okay. Some people is going in.
Yeah.
How are you with it? Are you a big talker? Do you like when guys start talking? I know where you from, so I know you ain't bothered by talking, but I'm just wondering how much you participate in it.
Yeah, I'll talk, and I'm spoken to. I'm definitely going to talk, but if we going to have a mellow game and we going to chill, I'll kill you in silence, but if you want to talk, we can talk. That's kind of how I am. I ain't going to start it, but I'll finish it for sure.
Phoenix look like they ready to talk. So this is going to be a riveting series. Are you? how exciting is that? That it might be. I mean, it's all love. It felt like, even like we saw like Ant and Bill like laughing afterwards, but like it's gonna get that way. How that, feels like, that feels like what you're cut from. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like that's the kind of basketball you grew up in.
Yeah, 100%. Like, like you said before, Rucker Park, like all that grit, grimy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's mm-hmm. just what I'm about all of that. But I mean, obviously, you know what I'm saying? Like, the goal is to win the game, but like you said, it's playoff time, so that's gonna come with it. And I think all of our guys are ready for that, especially Ant. You know, Ant is our leader. He's cut from a different cloth as well. So, you know what I'm saying? If that's what it's gonna take, and that's where it's gonna, the route is gonna go, I think we all are ready for that. I mean, obviously, the regular season's over. Now we in a different, you know what I'm saying, state of basketball, where a lot more, is that stake, and it's a lot more intense.
Does your routine pregame change for playoffs?
No, not at all. I mean, I think if it worked throughout the whole season, why change it? You know what I'm saying? I think, obviously, I think it's a playoff game, and it's more intense, but I think you don't change anything, because that's where I think we start thinking you're worried about the wrong things and so forth and so on.
Right.
Is there any you basically an OG now, especially as young as the league is, right? Like, or do you still feel like, yo, I'm about to go up against Kevin Durant, you know what I'm saying? Like in a playoff series, I'm about to go up against Devin Booker. You still feel any of that, or are you just too much of an OG now?
I wouldn't say I'm an OG, but I would also say, like, I never really like had that mesmerizing feeling like coming into the league. That makes sense. I kind of I thought I was equal to everybody. You know what I'm saying? I was gonna go on the court and show it. So obviously, like, you have your favorite players growing up. Mine was Kevin Durant growing up. That's the craziest part. But like, even going up against him my first time, I wasn't really like mesmerized as I thought I would be anyway. Just because, like, you know what I'm saying, I think I belong in this league. I think I could be at a high level at the places that they are at some point, you know, even going into my prime soon. So I think, obviously everybody has that, you know, that superstar that they love. But yeah, I think for me, I wouldn't say I'm too much of an OG, but I think I got the respect for him, but at the same time, I feel like I belong.
Which one of most improved or top six man would mean the most to you?
I hear.
I said, which one between most improved or sixth man of the year would mean the most to you?
I think sixth man of the year. I think sixth man of the year, because it shows how much impact you have on the game. I think you know, if you're going on the court with the second unit or going in there with some of the first unit, I think if you can have a tremendous impact, that just goes to. First, that's going into like the fans, if that makes sense. Some people call their arena six man, you know what I'm saying? So just how much impact you can bring in the game. I think that can go a long way and you know, bring a win to, you know, the seasonal game or the organization for a championship.
Right. I don't know, DA. I don't know about the most improved. Like, I would give most improved, but as one who receives it, I don't know. I'm one of the people who, if they be like, man, you look nice today, I'd be like, man, what you trying to say about me yesterday?
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I could not be like, most improved, you trying to say I was trash?
I definitely feel that.
Like, no, but I mean, you know, guys do get better. It doesn't mean you were awful
they
before.
Get better. They do get better. Like, it definitely gets
but
better.
But to win most improved, you basically said, you was kind of garbage, but now you're good. Like, that's how I'd take it, Nas. That's all I'm saying. I'd be like, what you trying to say?
Everybody has their own opinion. I feel that.
Man, all right. So what if you said there's three things or two things we need to do to beat Phoenix, and if we do these things, we're going to beat Phoenix, what would they be?
I think to stop or limit their early starts. I think when they have an early start, it allows them time throughout the game to mess up, and you know, they're up 20, you know what I'm saying, they can kind of mess up, not a lot, but you know what I'm saying, the amount to where they can recover from, you know what I'm saying. I think that's the biggest thing. I think just, you know, allowing ourselves enough room to, you know, if we're not up, enough room to, you know, manage the game and come back, you know what I'm saying. I think that is huge. And obviously they have three tremendous scorers on the team, you know what I'm saying, and obviously Grayson Allen, the list goes on. But I think you know, just focusing on those key focal key points where, you know, you kind of like the scouting report, where you kind of have to limit this guy from doing this, that, and the third. I mean, obviously, that's Kevin Durant. It's not so much you really got to limit him to doing, but, you know, just trying to be better on that side of the ball, or each side of the ball, from that aspect.
Phoenix is one of those teams that's like a super modern version, right? They've got, like, Kevin Durant is like their best rim protector. They spread the floor really well. I was curious, do you play the way you do, like being able to go out wide, being able to guard out at the three-point line because of, like, this is how this era was? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, did you like, all right, I see where this is going. Let me develop this part of my game. Or was this just how you played because that's how you grew up playing?
I mean, that's kind of just how I grew up playing. Like, I think just the time frame and, you know what I'm saying, the placement, I think this kind of, like, worked out perfectly because it's, like, that's just always been me. I've always been a four-man stretch. Like, you know what I'm saying? I've never really been a five where I was roaming the paint or guarding the bigs. You know what I'm saying? I always had to – even in AAU, I switched. I guarded guards. You know what I'm saying? I picked and popped our space threes. I dribbled to the rim. Like, I think that's kind of just how I played, and it just happened to work out with the situation we have. We got the three bigs, you know what I'm saying? So, and the two big lineup.
Would you want to go back? Would you ever, if you had the chance, would you ever want to go back and play the way they used to play back in the day? Like the old school, like everybody's in the paint, just banging on each other?
From a physicality standpoint, I would, but from a all-around basketball standpoint, probably not, just because I think it's more unique right now. I think you have players doing things that they never done before, breaking records and things of that nature. So
you just wish it was a little more physical? Wish you could hit people a little bit more?
I would say from that standpoint, because I mean, I play football, so, like, I'm with all the contact and everything. So I'm with all of that. So it's like, I'm not going to shy away because I'm gonna give it. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I think just from that standpoint,
That's what Kevon Looney always talks about, that. Like, man, if we could just hit, like, I want to, like, we hit, like, we bang. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I'm with it. Like, I'm not going to shy away from that at all. Like, I bang for real, so.
Yeah. No, it's just the way it used to be, man. It was just, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take it. It was just different.
Here you go, Nas. Walking up the hill in the snow, up and back.
It was different back then. That's all. It was just different.
That's all right, because Ant is the Jordan of this era. Let's go.
Stop. when Ant scores 63 in his second in the Garden, I'll give him that MJ tip. Okay, I'm just saying.
I don't care what you talk about, Nas. There's an MJ reincarnation.
63.
Like, how
in the
he
Garden.
Walk, how he carry himself, how he go. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's there.
I haven't been able to see Jordan, but, like, from like clips, highlights, and things like that, even the documentary, I definitely could feel that swag. Like, I think, for sure.
Ant
like
swag was ridiculous. Now Ant swag is nice. Don't get me wrong. His swag is nice for sure. He's a hell of a player, man. Nas, man, I hope y'all have a great run, a great long run. Ant, Marcus, there ain't nothing like Minnesota in the spring and early summer. It's fantastic up there. I would love to go up there for a Western Conference Finals. That would be beautiful. That would be outstanding. So, man, we root for weather, man. We root for weather.
Hey, that's crazy. Y'all could – this will hit you like, we could win a championship. Ain't that kind of crazy?
Yeah, like, I'm even talking about it last summer. I'm like, bro, like, at worst we can be at Western Conference Finals. Like, I think, like, we really can go far. Like, I think it's really fascinating to say from where we came from to where we are now in a matter of a few years. It's crazy.
Like, you could win a championship. Like –
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
Like, you can win a championship. 100%. Like, that's...
100%.
Yeah, I ain't been able to say that about Minnesota since, what, KG?
Since KG?
Yeah,
since KG.
And they wasn't winning no championship. It was Kobe and Shaq. Like,
you just got to solve that big Serbia like everybody else.
That's your problem, though.
Right.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man. Stay healthy. Good luck in the playoffs. We'll see you down the road.
Hey, man, can I just give one jelly roll one time on the come down the middle? You know what I'm saying?
For sure. I'm gonna definitely try and give you
one. Big jelly live
for sure.
One time for the one time.
I got you.
Hit that thing. All right, John.
Leave that 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get this fine American podcast. Marcus, if they can't leave them 5 stars, what do they need to do?
Keep it to yourself, you haters. We're gonna have Nas Reed post you up in the paint. You don't want them problems.
like the old school used to do. Nas give you that old 1-2.
Free Sue Surf.
Yeah.